We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Let's get out to Ron Coomer. He is the Cubs radio analyst who oversaw, and I'd like to think, helped create the magic we witnessed yesterday. Ron, it was your call. That's what made the whole thing happen.
Absolutely.
That's what I do.
Oh, what a night. Oh, yesterday they just couldn't get anything going. And then, ninth inning, everything happened. So it was pretty entertaining. That's about as good as it gets at Wrigley Field.
Well, put it in perspective, Ron, from a clubhouse standpoint. We were saying, is that the best win? It's a 162-game schedule. We get it. But the feeling on the field, the celebration, that one's going to kind of stand alone for a while. Given
the
week,
split against the team that's trying to get into first place, heading to St. Louis.
All the injury news, bad.
It's just an extraordinary series of events there at the end of that game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think the only game that even comes close is the walk-off grand slam by Hayward, right? He hit the big home run and the Hayward grand slam game. But yesterday, you're down to, the end of the ball game with a rookie who just got called up at the plate, and Bodie hits a home run to tie the game and then Riz. So I really think the guys in the clubhouse going into St. Louis, that's got to be about as good as it gets going into the St. Louis series. I really believe so. I don't know if it could get any better. I was in shock. As soon as Anthony hit that ball, I just started laughing. Honestly, it's just so funny. I'm like, it's unbelievable. And these are games that, have that carryover effect when you do stuff like that. We saw it in 16. There were some games like that happened. Comeback wins, and they have major carryover, and I really think this could be one of those carryover games.
And how do you read the Cole Hamels move? What does that do for that rotation?
Well, you just have to see. He's had some struggles. He's pitched very good on the road away from Texas. Texas is for me was my favorite ballpark to hit in. So you got to watch when you look at numbers of pitchers in Texas. That park was just, the infield was fast, was lightning fast, and the ball carried. And, he's a fly ball guy, a changeup guy. When the wind's blowing out at Wrigley, it could be difficult. But if the wind is blowing in or it's not blowing, it could be a great park for him to pitch in. We'll just have to see. To me, you never know what a trade does for a guy. Last year Verlander was okay, and then all of a sudden he goes to Houston, or 2 years ago, and he's unbelievable. You just never know what a trade can do for a guy, especially a guy that's got a lot of playoff experience. So it's PBA, right, to be determined. But I think it's good to get some veteran presence in there and another guy in a rotation.
What does the rotation look like now? What happens here? I know you still kind of need six guys, but where
does Montgomery go to the bullpen? Does he stick around in the rotation? Do you wait and see how that plays out?
I would say Montgomery stays in the rotation as of right now. I don't think Monty's going to go anywhere. That would be my thought right off the top of my head. But I still think the Cubs are going to make another, at least one more move in the bullpen. So I would say Montgomery stays, and you see what happens from there.
What do you do with Chetwood?
That's the tough one, right? He would be the guy to me that would be on the bubble, but you'll just have to see what they decide to do. Chetwood, he's the guy that would be on the bubble to me if you're going to make a move in the rotation.
But when you have control issues like he does, you can't bring him out of the bullpen unless it's just in a mop-up role, right? I mean, you can't bring him in a high-leverage situation and expect anything different than what you've seen to this point.
Yeah, but you don't know that, Brian. That's the crazy thing about our game. Sometimes guys go down to the bullpen and they get some mental downtime to figure out what they're doing, and they start playing with their game a little bit, right? And they're throwing all the time and just trying to figure it out. And all of a sudden, I mean, we've all seen it a bunch where the guy's struggling in the rotation of throwing strikes, having to the pen. You know, you're like, wow, what happened? It's good, right? And next thing you know, he's okay. So you never know what's going to happen. I think Chatwin is one of those guys that has had a lot of success in the big league. So you can never, like, just because he's had some struggles throwing strikes, you definitely can't just cross him off the list and say he's out. That's for sure. He's too talented of a guy, and he's too close to being very good. I mean, you know, that's one of those things that you just got to let play out.
What do you do with Chris Bryant? Or let me rephrase that. When he comes back from this latest DL, what kind of Chris Bryant should fans expect to see?
I would think that the guy that's a great player. He, you know, if he's scuffling and his shoulder keeps bothering him, you know, you got to get him healthy first. That was Joe Maddon's big thing. You know, it's just like, obviously something's not right because he's not swinging the bat like he's capable of. And he swung, it's been a very consistent Chris Bryant for his whole big league career up until now. So, you know, there's just the snap in his swing isn't right. Like we've seen before. So to me, you get him healthy. I would assume he'd probably get an MRI today or did yesterday, and they'll take another look and see if there's anything going on his shoulder. Once he gets right, then, you know, I anticipate him being back to where he was.
How long do you give it? I mean, you know, do you start working from, you know, backward, forward, and thinking about when you need, you know, it seems like rest is the only solution. So if indeed, you know, there's no surgical need here and nothing that has to happen immediately, do you just shut him down for a few weeks? Do you, you know, try to stay with the timetable of a 10-day DL, or do you understand that, you know, it's just about getting him back and not having to do this again?
Well, here's the situation. To me, When you absolutely rule out that there's something in there that's causing this to where it's a surgical thing, when you rule that out, it's much better and much easier for the player to go out and play the game and know you're not continuing to hurt yourself, right? So that's the first thing. Mikey, you let him spend this next 10, 12, 14 days, few weeks, and just really try to heal. And then you start grinding back at, but there's no absolutes. There's no way of saying this is exactly what we should do. You got to see how he feels. He might feel great in 10 days, and you go, he's taking a few swings and goes, I don't feel this. And then for Joe and PJ and the medical staff, you got to decide: is it a tendonitis thing? Is it something like that, or is it, you know, you'll know by then if there's a tear or, you know, something in that shoulder.
You watching that game yesterday, even before he hit the tying home run, the play that Bodie made to get him out, get Chatwood out of one of his self-made jams was unbelievable. And I know that that Jed said on The Score a couple weeks ago that the guy just looks like he belongs, and he goes to sleep at night knowing that he belongs in the clubhouse in a Major League Baseball team. And you can see that. I mean, the confidence is there. What's the ceiling for someone like that, for a player like that?
Boy, he's to me, I look at him and he's got everyday big league ball player written all over him. I watched him yesterday. Here's the thing. Brian Butterfield, our infield instructor, had him out at second base yesterday morning for quite a long time and really put him through a workout at second base. And they worked on everything from plays like the play he made diving to his left, plays up the middle, slow roller plays, and then the pivot at second base and all the different pivots he needs to make. And, you know, I think for Brian Butterfield, it was almost not only work for Bodie, but also for Brian to see what he had with Bodie at second base, because we've heard that second base is his best position. So he can play all the infield spots. He can, you know, he can play the two corner outfield spots, as good athlete as he is. So it didn't surprise me after watching him work out for a half hour with Brian Butterfield yesterday, or 40 minutes, that he made a play like that. Because now he took ground balls, Bri, for, I don't know, 25, 30 minutes straight. He missed one ground ball, a tough play up the middle, in his work with Brian.
And wow.
I just looked and went, okay, this guy's got it together. He's a big league player, because he just, his work was really good. It was game speed. It was everything you'd want it to be, and it was very consistent. So it didn't surprise me he made that play yesterday.
Ron, thanks a ton. Should be a fun weekend. Really appreciate your time.
Enjoy the toasted ravioli in St. Louis.
We will do that. Maybe a little barbecue, too.
Bro. Yeah, I've had enough of the toasted ravioli. Yep. Go for the barbecue.
You guys take care.
Thanks, Ron.
Ron. Thank you. That's our guy, Ron Coomer. He's in St. Louis getting ready for the game.
Did you ever go up on the hill in St. Louis and get the toasted ravioli in the old Italian neighborhood?
No. You know, I always stayed downtown near the stadium, which I was there mainly for football.
Right.
So near the dome is where I would stay. And
you're not missing anything.
Yeah, I didn't really spend a lot of time there. Although I went there one time and had a good time. Stayed out in, I forget what the name of it was, some suburb, and had a good time.
And the City Museum was a good stop.
City Museum was one of the coolest places. It was fantastic.
Don't go up in the Arch. No need to do that.
The Arch was maybe the most claustrophobic experience of my life. I did it as a kid, and I thought it was fun. As an adult, I was just terrified.
You couldn't pay me enough to get inside.
Let me tell you something.
Death trap.
It's even smaller than it sounds like.
Yeah.
I was convinced. And then, you know, you Google it, and apparently there are times when people have...
It gets stuck. It gets stuck.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That would not have ended well.
Well worth the walk, you know.
It would have been like the Hulk. I would have just been... I would have torn out of the thing and just, you know, dove into the Mississippi.
I think they just did a big remodel on that.
Okay. Well,
they made it larger?
I don't think
there's
made it larger.
No chance of me going there. Maybe they still have the carpeting up there, the wall-to-wall carpeting.
Oh, that's nice.
The top of it, yeah.
Is it like the shag stuff that I had?
It's like that shag stuff, going to Vito
to
and Nick's. And the windows, I thought, were kind of foggy. Like, they were dirty on the inside and the outside. They were, like, you couldn't see anything.
The window cleaner didn't want to get in there either.
It was...
Maybe Ranji was taking dates up there.
Oh,
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Mitchell Trubisky. He was on Bears All Access last night, right here on The Score. And we are delighted to get down to Bourbonus and bring in our friend Bob Laguerre, covering the Bears for Pro Football Weekly. Bob, how are you?
I'm living the dream. It's another day in paradise down here.
Well, the water stopped, so that's nice. It rained early, and now you're getting to see. I don't know. You're getting ready for a Hall of Fame game, which is fun. At least you get a depth chart at some point or other. I haven't seen it yet. But what the hell's going on with Roquan Smith? Why is this taking so long? I really enjoyed reading Pro Football Weekly yesterday, because Mike Florio sort of explained that this might have something to do with the new tackling rules, that leading with the head. There are two different helmet rules that maybe this is somehow connected to. It was at least I think there might be a reason.
If there's any truth to that, it just shows you that lawyers will screw up everything. I mean, the rookie wage scale was supposed to eliminate all this stuff with rookies holding out. There's really, I mean, give them one thing to argue about, and they will, whether it's offset language or the potential for being suspended for a helmet-to-helmet hit. I mean, this guy should have been in camp 10 days ago, 11 days ago, with the other rookies, who all reported to Bourbonnais early. And, you know, it's not a dire situation at this point, and nobody cares if he plays in the Hall of Fame game. In fact, nobody cares if they play the Hall of Fame game. but if he's back sometime later this week or early next week, he's fine. He could very easily start opening day, and that's what the Bears wanted. And really, you know, it's a situation where the Bears are kind of backed into a corner a little bit. When you're coming off four straight double-digit loss seasons, you can't afford any bad PR. They drafted this guy with the intention that he would be an immediate impact player, and the longer he stays away, there's less of a chance that that's going to happen this year.
So a week into camp, Bob, which of these Bears are on a Hall of Fame trajectory in your eyes?
Wow.
Well, I think when they're down there for that game in Canton, Anthony Miller might already get inducted as a rookie.
Just ask him.
And honestly, he has looked really good. And no knock on Kevin White, because he's been healthy and he's looked good. But it would not surprise me at all if Anthony Miller took snaps away from Kevin White early in the season. He came in with the reputation Miller did. He's not a great route runner because he ran a limited route tree at Memphis. But the routes he's running very well. No drops, catches the ball, has very good run after the catch ability. To me, he stands out almost every practice you notice him. Kevin White a little bit too. Prince Mukamara, a guy with 7 career interceptions in 7 years, I believe has 4 already, 2 yesterday in a 5-play sequence against Trubisky. So their secondary, which very recently was a sore spot and a weak area, now may be a team strength for them.
And that sounds great, and that makes you happy to know they're going to be better there. But the how many interceptions of Trubisky? I mean, that, you know what I'm saying? You worry about the quarterback. It's a quarterback-driven league. It's a quarterback-driven team. It's why you went out and got Matt Nagy, and why he hired a guy in Mark Helfrich that is going to help him with the development of Mitchell Trubisky. What are you seeing from him, and is the reports of inconsistency, is that accurate, Bob?
Well, you could call it inconsistency, or you could just call it bad. And in Trubisky's defense, they're dumping a lot of stuff on him. The plan is, Nagy has said, is to throw a bunch of stuff at him, see how much of it he can handle, and then pull back a little bit and let him master a smaller amount of plays. That clip you played, they have a bunch of plays. They could go into a game and run a bunch of plays. They just couldn't run them well at this point. And I think Trubisky's going to be fine, but it's a process. This is his third offense in 3 years, starting at North Carolina. He's got 5 receivers, probably 5 of his top 6 receivers this year, who he has never thrown a pass to in a regular season game. So he's got to develop a rapport with 5 different guys, and it's going to take some time. This offense is not going to be functioning smoothly in week 1 in Green Bay.
Bob, Jordan Howard, haven't read or heard much about him because it's all about Trubisky in the passing game, but how does he fit in this offense, and what kind of season can you expect him to have?
Well, when Nagy was asked about him early on, based on the multiple drops that Jordan Howard has had in his career as a pass receiver, he said, we're not going to, because a guy may be deficient in one area, we're not going to ignore that. We're going to try to get him better at that. And it only helps the offense if Jordan Howard can catch the ball and run the ball. Because if not, when he's in the game, they're running. Sure. When he's not in the game, they're throwing. And early on, he looks much better. He's made some real nice catches in practice, had a touchdown catch yesterday in their full contact goal line situation. And he looks like a more natural catcher now than he ever has in the past. Whether that continues into the preseason, the regular season, we'll see. But early indications are that he's much better in that area than he has been, which, isn't saying much because he was so poor at it before.
Bob, I read with interest your story about Trey Burton. Here's a guy they went out and gave a lot of money to, especially for a team that had already invested pretty big in Deion Sims. And by the way, they used a second-round pick on Adam Shaheen. So you believe he's – all indications are that he's going to have a career year, and he better.
Yeah, for what they're paying him and what the expectations are, and in this offense, and if you look at what this offense did for Travis Kelce in Kansas City, now Trey Burton isn't nearly as big as Travis Kelce, right, but he is that kind of an athlete, the kind of guy who can stretch a defense. They'll line him up in the backfield in the slot, split wide, and at the traditional tight end spot. And make no mistake about it, they didn't pay him $32 million to block anybody. And he's working on that, but that's not what his role in this offense is. That's for Deion Sims, and that's for Akeem. Trey Burton is clearly the pass-catching tight end in this group.
Bob, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Hope you're having a good time at camp.
Hope your bag's arm is well-iced and ready to go.
Yeah, that's been a little disappointing, but it's been great down here. And, Molly, I know you remember some of those days in Plattsville where it was 95 and humid. We haven't had any of that. It's been good. They've gotten a lot of work done. And the great thing was when it rained 3 days in a row, I mean, if it was Mark Trussman, that team would still be inside. But they practiced for it. And Maggie made the comment that it was ridiculous, that sometimes it helps you to practice in weather that you're going to play games in. So we'll see how that works.
Yeah, how about that? All right, Bob, thanks, pal.
Take care, Bob.
That is Bob Laguerre. He's covering the Bears for Pro Football Weekly. Great guy, Bob. Joe, one of the great bags players you'll ever meet.
I've always legendary stories.
Yes. Well, he and Larry Mayer are a team, and they are unbeatable. Thanks to Bob. No offense, Larry. Love you, too. Love you long time.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Hanley. Oh, how do I interrupt that song? Always a joy. Any conversation with Olin is like a Christmas morning. How are you, buddy? How's life?
Good morning, guys. How's it going? I was listening, so I'm wondering here now, according to Bob, if Howard's in the game, then they're 100% running the ball, right?
Well, he said now that he's better at catching the ball.
No, they may occasionally have a drop. Over.
Yes.
So they don't do play action anymore in NFL, I guess. Anything like that. Huh?
Wow, everyone's on the muscle today.
Now, I saw some great video from camp of you. I think it was Cody Whitehair, and you're kind of you look like you're teaching him a little something. You were down there working with the guys, right?
Yep. Now he's screwed up for good. Now we know he won't do better. But, yeah, I mean, I'm really good friends with Harry Hiestand. Me and Harry are really close. Tony Wise is there. Tony and Dave and Mark Hadley and Spielman are the guys who drafted me.
Right.
So Harry gave me a call, asked me to come down. That's a pleasure for me to hang around Harry and Tony, two great NFL coaches, and to learn from them and just to hang out and talk about old times and be around football players like Cody Whitehair and Bobby Massey and Kyle Long and Kush and these guys that you can tell it means a lot to them to get better, to turn this thing around. So it was fun being down there and working with them.
Is Kush a placeholder or is he going to win that job? He's ahead of James Daniels right now, right?
Yeah, look, he looked good when he played before his injury last year or the year before that. I figured when he went in for
right.
Kyle, but he played well. But James Daniels sure does look like a high draft pick when you watch him play. And for a guy who's only 20 years old, he's got a lot of natural talent now. He's got a lot to learn, and Kush is probably a little ahead of him just because of his experience and things of that nature. But if James Daniels keeps going on the path that it looks like he's going on, it'll probably be hard to keep him off the field. I mean, the kid looks like they got a really good ball player there from Iowa.
It would seem to be make-or-break time for Hronis Grassou. Does Mark Helfrich's arrival help him in any way?
Yeah, it is. It is make-or-break for him, especially with, they got kind of a logjam there, right, in the interior. So when it comes down to a numbers game with only keeping 8 or 9 guys, he's going to have a really, really strong camp and show a lot, I would imagine, to hang around. But look, he's doing everything he can. I think he looks better than he has looked over the years that he's been here. And I think Harry Hiestand has a lot to do with that. And Harry's got him coming off the ball, not worrying about, getting beat, not worrying about position blocking, just firing through guys and trying to drive them off the ball. And I think it's really benefited Hronis and got him throwing his hands against bigger guys and standing his ground instead of backing up and catching guys. So that benefits centers who are a little underweight or struggle with the string side of the game. And I know that because that's the way I had to play. I had to attack the big guys early, not lose any ground, because if I did, I was in trouble with guys who were over 320, 330, the Casey Hamptons of the world, the Sean Rogers, the Vince Wilfork. These guys come in listed at 350. They probably weigh about 390. So if you give any room to these guys, they will shove you back into the quarterback. And I think Hronis is learning that, and he's looked good. But look, they got Cody Whitehair, James Daniels, Kyle Long, They got Watford from Arizona. Yep. They got Kush. So they got a lot of guys in that interior three that are battling for four jobs. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's when you start looking at the numbers and you start trying to, you know, line them up, it does change the way you look at it. And Olin, the one thing they have going for them is at least they have this sort of continuity. You know, they have guys that have been there a while and played together. Now, obviously, Kyle Long, it's a big question mark how he fits into it.
Right, and Kyle is it's funny when you show up and you talk to Kyle and you watch him move, and he is an amazing athlete, right? And we all know who his family is and who his dad is. And
yeah.
He's got those genetics that you can't coach. I mean, his forearms look like a tree. He's just a big man who can bend, who can come off the ball. And if he's healthy and he's right, he's probably the best right guard in the NFL. So that's what they're hoping for. Now, just by going to camp, just by being there with, you know, not having a game to September 9th, none of us, I don't even think they do, no one has an idea how he's going to hold up. So they're trying to be smart with him. They want him to stay healthy. Him being healthy is a big part of what they want to do. So keeping Kyle Long healthy, keeping him there. We all know his surgery situation. We all know his ankle situation. He looks good right now. And if he stays that way and he plays all 16 games and he gives them an all-pro right guard, that's a big plus for them.
The physical aspect is difficult enough to even comprehend. But three surgeries mentally – you know, and the ankle surgery a year ago really, you know, he had post-op problems, complications. How do you get over that as a player, trusting your body is 100% ready to go?
Yeah, and that's a good question. You know, I have never gone through what he's gone through with all these surgeries and things of that nature and all in 1 year, but I've come back from injuries before, and the key is just to be out there like he is, and he's been saying that in his interviews if you listen to him, right? He's saying, like, I got one in today, and I'm glad to get through it. And you just don't want to, when you're out there playing with that injury, you got to keep testing it. You know, you feel a little weary at first. Then you hit a guy, drive him off the ball, and you don't feel your ankle. And that confidence just grows and grows and grows. And I think they're like 40-something days or something like that away from their first game. So he's got a long time to grow that confidence and feel really, really comfortable that the surgeries work, that his ankle's good enough to go. Because – when you watch him do even just a little live he did and a little moving around he does, he looks really, really good. But when the bullets start flying live and the toll of 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 reps in a game start coming, that's the only place that your confidence will come from, that all the injuries you had fixed in the offseason, that they're good to go and you're ready to go and you don't have to worry about them. And for Kyle, that's going to maybe take the preseason and maybe take the first quarter of the season for him to feel comfortable again.
Olin, we know the Bears are going to run a new offense. We know that they brought Matt Nagy in to do that, and he had the foresight or the, I don't know what you'd call it, the ability to bring in a guy that has learned from a lot of different people, plays a different style of offense in terms of Helfrich coming in as the coordinator. Does that affect an offensive line? Because – you know, the unit that we are looking at, as I said before, played together a little bit. Harry coming in, he's got his ideas about how things work. How does an offensive line handle a change of offense outside? And again, offensive linemen, obviously, the smartest guys on a team.
and best athlete.
Yes, and best looking.
Yeah,
but
nice.
But how?
In bizarro world.
but how does that affect an offensive line?
It affects you, right? And these coaches now, it looks to me, and Matt Nagy, you know, and all these guys working there, and Heffrick and Harry and Fury and all these coaches coming together and trying to mesh an offense that they want to put together, that takes a lot of work in itself. So everybody's kind of learning from each other. But the biggest key is I think this staff is more of what do we do well, right? And look, a lot of that stuff is window dressing, a lot of the motions.
Yeah.
And fake jet sweep and a fake counter this way and Tariq Cohen going in motion and defense freaking out. Look, for the O-line, when all that stuff is going on, it's just inside zone. You know, all that stuff is just window dressing, right? The quarterback, Mitch, has to handle all the fakes and things of that nature. The O-line is still just blocking. You're just blocking inside zone. You're just blocking outside zone. You're blocking screen. You're blocking wide receiver screen. You're blocking three or four step drop. The rest of it, the good thing about being offensive lineman is the rest of it is handled by everybody else behind you. It's not handled by you. So if you just look at it that way, it may be called different, and all you got to do is put everything together in a group and say, look, all these plays called with all these different things is just 34 zone. We're going down the four hole. I got to get my head tight to the right armpit and drive my laser, try to hit this guy off the ball. Because Mike Martz, if you guys remember, had a lot of that stuff going on too. But when you came down to it, he was just running. For an offensive lineman, all he was running was all the simple stuff. He was running power. He was running inside zone. He was running outside zone. Three-step drop. Screen to the back. Screen to wide receiver. So it won't affect them all that much. And I think the coaches are trying to figure out what they do well, along with Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen and Benny Cunningham. And what do we do the best? And then let's do that.
All right, my friend. Thank you, Olin. We appreciate it. Are you going to go to the Hall of Fame? Are you going to go there next weekend?
Yes, I will be there. What an amazing deal to have a guy that you played with go in. It's almost surreal. I was talking to Jason McKee yesterday, and it's like you're staring at a guy that you went against every day in practice, and you knew he was really good because he was kicking your butt every day. But for a guy to be a first ballot Hall of Famer that you played in, it's almost like you're in a small way a part of it, and it feels amazing.
Well, he'd have been nothing if he hadn't played against you in practice.
That's coached him up.
No, as we all could tell when he got hurt, we would have been nothing.
All right, Olin, thank you.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks,
right.
Olin.
That is Olin Kreutz. Always a joy to talk to Olin. And you know, I love the way he breaks it down because it really is. You know, you talk about the complexity of offense and all that stuff. It's, you know, Peyton Manning getting under center and he's doing all these gesticulations and everything's happening. But it really had nothing to do, you know, you're calling out.
Omaha.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, you know, you got to know who you're blocking and what you're doing. But it doesn't, it really doesn't affect the offensive line in the same fashion. Harry is going to be running his own unit in his own way. And those guys have been playing together. And it gives you a little bit of a head start, which is a good thing because so many changes with the skill position players and so many new guys, as we talked to Bob about, you know, the idea that Mitchell Trubisky hasn't even thrown to a lot of these guys. It's just, you know, you're building up timing here.
So, yeah, here's hoping that you got Harry that's like adding a great player on the offensive line times about five.
And you got Olin helping out in practice. Yeah. That should help, right?
Olin's got to tell Brian, though, he's got to shave the head for the Hall of Fame speech. He's got to go back to Brian Urlacher that we know. Not.
Kevin is just nodding. Yeah. You don't like that look?
Oh, my God, it's awful.
I mean, no, it's just, I mean, that you just, you can grow back. That's the beauty of having that done, but you got to go back to the shaved head just for that one day.
No, it looks bad.
Come on. Leave Brian Urlacher alone. We're, you know, guy's going in the Hall of Fame. My God, is it bad enough that Dustin's on the show? You have to join in?
I think Brian Urlacher's a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah,
I don't know about that rug.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.